This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Loving God, help us to place our treasure in you, for our hearts are truly restless until they rest in you. Amen. Please be seated. Well, hello there. As you're probably aware, the bishops in the Anglican Church from around the world are meeting at what is called the Lambeth Conference that usually happens every 10 years. But because of COVID, it was delayed, and they have been meeting up for the last couple of weeks in a place called Lambeth. And one of their last points of discussion was about becoming disciples. And our own presiding bishop, Michael Curry, issued a little statement about becoming disciples, and I want to just read you just one little paragraph from what Bishop Curry said. Something profound happens in a person's life when their center of gravity or center of life is no longer the self, but Jesus of Nazareth. That's when we become the light of the world. They changed the world in the first century, and if it can happen to them in the first century, it can happen to us in the 21st century. Becoming disciples. That's what this gospel is talking about. That's what this pilgrimage was all about. That's what our Christian life is all about. When we began our time together, I asked each of the pilgrims what is it that they were really looking for through this experience. And almost to a person, their response was, I want to get closer to God. So how do we do that? Well, Hebrews talks to us about stepping out in faith. And that certainly is one of the most important steps along the way for us. In pilgrimage, there is this term called liminality that I've talked about before. But it's an image that applies to our entire life. Liminality is that stage when we leave everything that we know as familiar and are thrust into something that is not familiar. Something as simple as cars coming at you from the opposite direction when you try to walk across the street. Something as simple as Father Marty saying, sit in the passenger seat, and the passenger goes into the driver's side of the car instead because it's opposite. Sometimes it's a foreign language, which for some of us at times, Scottish seemed to be that way, didn't it? But it's all about this moving into something unknown, as Abraham did, as the authors to Hebrews talks about. And it is through that experience of stepping out, whether it is in terms of something as simple as a pilgrimage or something as grandiose as what we deal with now as this stage of liminality that we have experienced for over 2 years, that now we are called to listen to God as to where we are called to become disciples. In a sense, how do we gain our grounding again? One of the things we do with our pilgrimage groups when we get to Iona is there is this Dunai, which is the highest hill, mountain, have you, on the island that is traditionally seen as the spot where Columba went and marched up to the top of that island because he had decided he would go to a place where he could no longer see his homeland. And when he arrived there and could not see his homeland, that's where he felt called that he and his 12 monks would establish their monastery. So we have this hike up the hill. None of these wonderful people, except for Sherry, had done it before with me. I'm not an experienced hiker, so I decided, well, we're just going to all do this together. I've done it 12 times. About halfway up, guess who fell? And the entire weight of my body went onto my hands, and I've finally got full feeling back in both hands from that little adventure. But one of our pilgrims pointed out, Father Marty, you're wearing shoes that don't have any grip on them. And so I looked down, and yes, these are the shoes that we changed out on my anniversary on March 11th. But based on what we've been dealing with and going through since March 11th, there's nothing left on these puppies. So we have to change out the shoes a little early this year, guys. But I think it makes a point about this being grounded. What is it that we have that helps us stay spiritually grounded? And one of those things is not only faith, but it is that ability to look to our past to get the strength that we need. And that's to look back at the saints who have gone before us, who have traveled the path for us to make it easier for us to be grounded. One of the experiences some of our adventurous pilgrims had was deciding that they didn't want to follow the path that you would follow up the mountain and follow the path that came back down. And the advice I thought wise to give them is, if you just look, there is a path that people who've gone before us have established because it is the easiest way to get from point A to point B. Some of us had to learn that the hard way. But we all got up, we all got back down. And the image of that, about being grounded, is the way in which God calls us to look to those who have traveled the path before us so that we can gain our own footing, so to speak, in a spiritual sense. And so we were blessed as we were all assigned different saints that we concentrated upon, whether it be Columba, whether it be St. Margaret of Scotland, whether it be Cuthbert or Aidan or the Venerable Bede, and looking to those saints and their stories so that we might gain strength for our own journey as a result. But it's not just those ancient saints of old. We have now had over 120 people, I believe, who have been able to experience these Celtic lands in Scotland and England. And over the years, we have been blessed to develop relationship with modern Celtic saints. And yes, we learn a lot from them as well about being grounded. It's someone as simple as a George Brand, the coach driver, when the flight from London to Glasgow was canceled and there are no trains available, how are we going to get from the south of England all the way up to the north to Glasgow in Scotland? And just through a phone call and an email to George and our friend Karen McCormick, they figure it out. And George, through his relationships with bus companies and drivers in London, gets someone to commit to pick us up in London and drive us halfway to Manchester. George drives down from Glasgow, stays overnight in Manchester, and there's a trade-off, and George switches out with Mac, the other bus driver, and drives us the rest of the way. Without those kinds of relationships and commitment because they know what we are about, it would not have happened. Or Karen McCormick, who is like a family member, is one of the top tour guides that exist in Scotland. And yet every opportunity she got to join up with our group, she wanted to be there to lead us, to teach us, to guide us. Or it's people like John McClain and his wife Rachel that many of you know from the old youth hostel in Iona, who joined us for dinner and ended up helping me in the Le Mans race across Mull to try to catch up with the ferry as John was driving right in front of me, knowing that time was of the essence to catch that ferry. Or it's like Dot at the Iona Pods, where our male portion of our pilgrims stayed, and they inquired about how they could get their laundry done, and instead of just showing them where to go, she takes their laundry, she washes it, she dries it, she folds it, and places it on their beds. Or it's someone like a Sheila, who did not know us at all, was very apprehensive about renting out her house where we stayed in Iona to a group that was unknown. And by the time we left, she was begging for us to come back because she loved having us around so much. Or it's a Danny at Castlekirk who has rented us his particular house there for many, many of our pilgrimage groups. And Danny knows what we're about and respects us and loves to have us there. And he runs a little fruit and vegetable stand, and you would go there and you'd want to buy something, and he'd say, "Take it, just take it." Or it's an Andy and an Anna Rain, leaders in the Northumbria community, who drop everything whenever we come. And Andy spending as much time as he could with our young people to introduce them to Celtic prayers, Celtic experiences, dancing, drumming under the castle by the lime kilns. Or it's a Mark and Mary Fleeson who run the Lindisfarne Scriptorium, and because of Mary's illness, were not able to do much with us this time, but felt like family after they've been here to St. Joseph's twice now and have experienced all of our pilgrimage groups. And Mark opens up their store so that we can find an internet connection to do our Zoom that we did with you all that particular Sunday. It's a Scott Gardiner, a musician and a leader in that community who, going back to the first pilgrimages we experienced going for Scottish music that they would perform, and just through a phone call gets three of his other buddies to come and put on a mini concert for us on our final night dinner. Roots, finding our grounding. Certainly looking to the example of the saints, both in biblical times, both beyond biblical times and Celtic times, but also in our own day, to be attuned to those miracles of people who are around us. One of the gifts of this passage is what Jesus says to his disciples, but also says to us. He says, "It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Now, the meaning in English is a bit lost from the Greek translation, but it's in a tense in Greek that denotes a past action. That God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom is something that God has already done. That we have before us every spiritual blessing in the heavens available to us. So then it becomes clear that the task for us is to be attuned to those blessings. So how are we stepping out in faith and enabling ourselves to experience that? Every pilgrimage normally ends with us gathering around this altar as soon as we return, but because of my own delay in flights, we were not able to do that. But there's a quote I always use for our pilgrims when they return. It's a line from one of my favorite poets, T.S. Eliot. And this is what he writes. "We will not cease from our exploration. And the end of all our exploring will be to return home and discover the place for the first time. To come home and discover the place for the first time." Our prayer for you, our prayer for all of us, is that as we continue in this moving out of this liminal stage and stepping out in faith, that we can understand that this place we call home is yet to be fully discovered, that God desires to continue to lead us onward. May we be open to that growth, to be grounded time and time again. Amen.